Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I apologize. It's been a minute since I've been on Blog Talk Radio, producing content to share with the world. But today I'm here and we're exploring intentional communities. And I'm with Valerian Snow. Hi, Valerian. How's life treating you?
Hi. Really good. Really good. Thanks for having me on the podcast. It's a deep honor.
Awesome. So we're producing this podcast to share with the world about intentional communities. Can you share with our audience what an intentional community is?
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of different definitions, but it generally is a group of people who, as the name just have an intention and are usually living together. Yeah, that's the basics. They're usually living together. They have a shared intention or vision, and they want to usually share resources is a huge part of it, not just sharing the land. Like, although there's versions of it where people just, you know, share land that they all have houses on. But I think that's the general level.
Cool. So I'm interested in intentional communities because of the collective care aspect of it. Ever since COVID shutdown, I've been trying to build, like, collective care, intentional communities, mutual aid. And that's really what attracts me to the whole concept of intentional communities. Could you share with us your journey with intentional communities?
Sure. Yeah. I have my personal journey, I started hearing about intentional communities when I started reading about and being an interest in activism back in 2011. My roommate in college was telling me about all these updates from New York City and Wall Street of what was going on with Occupy. And I generally considered myself at that point someone who wanted to be involved with helping folks in the world and wanting to confront things like racism and economic disparities, especially growing up here in Arkansas or, you know, the state of Arkansas, which is I was on, and we're actually calling in today from Caddo land of the indigenous Caddo Nation. But I grew up here. And my church, my Methodist church, which I was part of at the time that I grew up in, we would go on mission projects. And that kind of helped shape my consciousness from a young age to want to live in close quarters with other people, but also to, like, you know, support the world. And then I think what shifted for me was when I read Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne. He wrote about his experiences having co-founded an intentional community. And then I decided that I wanted to live that way. I also learned about his activism, his engagement with union activism and anti-racism and anti-sexism and all the different, you know, gamut of of things that we organized for. And I think I began to, you know, delve more deeper and found out about Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker Movement. And she avoided the words intentional community because she felt like that would lead to, and in some cases it has, more of just like people who are kind of sharing private land, but not exercising as a movement. And so she felt like that would stagnate the communalist movement of the time. And so I kind of consider myself a communalist. I've come over time to really appreciate the Marxist framework of the working class and the owning class framework. And even before Marx, we can see examples of the working class coming together to seize the means of production to take back the land from the land enclosures, both legally and illegally. There have been communes of people who have been squatting in a place illegally. And there's, of course, a lot of communes where the people co-own the land in some legal contract. There's also examples of communes where folks have taken over a city and reclaimed it for a certain amount of time until it's so resisted. And, of course, there's the autonomous zones, the temporary autonomous zones that we see coming up in resistance and in response to police brutality. So I think for me, it just seems really inspiring and uplifting to see people wanting to share resources again when this seems to be at the core of most forms of oppression.
I see it as a movement, and it's our time to really same space where we could come together and take care of each other. I like the fact that you said her name is the intentional community.
Oh, Dorothy Day.
Dorothy Day. Yeah. I kind of like her concept too, because I don't want to reproduce what's already out in society, what I'm trying to get away from. I really want to be a part of a community that really looks out for each other and have shared goals and set dreams. You know what I'm saying? We have our own personal lives too, but we share in our community life. You know, that's what I look for. So what brought you to create Snake Village?
Well, Snake Village is here in the Ouachita Mountains. Again, we're on Caddo land. My partner Snow and I met back in 2015, and we both lived around a interesting like community garden that was, I think, on an acre of land there in Fayetteville, in northern Fayetteville. And basically around that land, there was a lot of people, you know, individuals who were renting homes or, in my case, the road. My commune was living in land provided by the Methodist Church, and we were in just a small house that could house, you know, two people with a guest couch. At times, we would meet people at the community meals in town who needed a place to stay the night, and one of us would sleep on the couch while they slept in our bed, and, you know, we kind of helped them just get a sense of morale, if that was at the very least that we could do, and we considered ourselves part of the Catholic Worker Movement in that way. And across the street was where we had the Industrial Workers of the World meetings at the Garland House, which was a commune that was renting a house. I think there was five of them living in that house, renting together from somebody. But they basically, you know, they used their living room to host activist meetings, to organize and to agitate, to get materials together. To I remember going with them to a lot of churches in a Latinx-heavy population area where a lot of folks would go to work for Tyson. And we were trying to, you know, unionize with the workers. So it's like an experience where when Snow and I met in this sort of cauldron of communalism and unionism and anti-capitalism, and this was back in 2015, so Black Lives Matter was brand new. We were organizing with a lot of transgender people locally. I was exploring my own androgyny and came out of the closet, transitioned to, you know, consider myself non-binary or taking on the role of being androgynous. So I think we both had it in our minds that we wanted to find intentional community or co-found one. Now, we traveled, especially after I was fired from that Methodist church for coming out of the closet, which is a whole other funny story, because that church was supposedly like LGBT friendly and, you know, like had all our welcome sign, but I was working for them, so it was a different story with that. Oh no, it's almost over, but yeah, I can.
Yeah, and we'll come back. I apologize. I hadn't been on the podcast in a minute, and it took me a few minutes to actually get this podcast up and running. But you created Snake Village with Snow, correct? And when we come back, we're going to talk about Snake Village, why they decided to create Snake Village, and the challenges of creating an intentional community. Thanks for listening.
I think we all have impossible possibilities. There are different ways.